Sunday school lesson today is the purpose of civil government. And our devotional and background study comes from Acts chapter 5, verses 26 through 42. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
Everybody have a Sunday school book this morning. Our lesson is entitled The Purpose of Civil Government. Now, we find the scriptures to be fervently in favor of civil government. Think, in his foreknowledge, God knew without governing laws that mankind would probably wipe one another out in short order. So we find early on in the Old Testament where God gave down laws for man to follow. Now, I have a slight difference of opinion with Bobby Vanderpool. Brother Vanderpool makes a statement, and I don't exactly know what he meant by this, but in his text he said the Ten Commandments given to Moses issued a law for civil government by which the people of God were to govern themselves for all ages. The Ten Commandments, I don't believe, was not civil laws. They were spiritual and moral laws. If we as a people obeyed the moral laws that God gave us, we wouldn't need civil laws. God knew that we wouldn't be able to do that. So that's why in the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and some other books of the Old Testament, you find where God laid down just numerous laws that the Jews were to follow, and some of them were quite harsh. and their bearing. And this was a law to help develop a nation. And it was a law to help that nation govern itself in a manner that God would have them to govern. Now, today those laws are ancient and we don't follow them quite as harshly or as what the scriptures indicated that the chosen people of God were to follow. But nevertheless, we have laws today, and it's strictly to protect the human race. Like I said, I think God understood the fact, well, I know he understood the fact that if we didn't have something to govern, to punish and to reward the people, we would have wiped each other out a long time ago. That's just man's nature. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, the title of our lesson is Purpose of Civil Government. It comes from the 13th chapter of Romans, which was written by Paul. And Paul said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. In other words, the governing authorities. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power or authority but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. In other words, appointed or approved of God. So the governing powers that this world has is a station or power or authority that is ordained by God. He wanted this set up in a manner that we would have laws and we would have authority. Let me read on here. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. In other words, if you go against the authority that you're under, then you're going against the wishes of God, because God wants you to be under authority. He wants a system of laws that keeps people in line, I guess you might say. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Listen at this now. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now, the purpose of government is to protect the good and punish the evil. That's the purpose. It's not up to us to judge in a civil case who is good and who is evil outside the institution of the authorities. In other words, we're not vigilantes, if you know what I mean. We're not out to do this ourselves. We're supposed to be under authority. And God's Paul said, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So the purpose of government is to protect the good and punish the evil, to enact laws that determine right from wrong, and to reward or punish accordingly. I mean, that's the purpose of a government. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually until this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, this lesson is taken from the 16th article of faith of Pendleton's manual, which says that we as a church, as one of God's churches, we believe that civil government is of divine appointment. And I believe that. And you know, as such, it's important for God's people to pray for those people that are in authority. because this is a position that was established by God Himself. Now, He set this system up, and it's our responsibility to pray for these people that are in power, that they make the right decisions, and they make the right choices, and they make the right laws, and I'll get into that a little later. Now, Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, is that a conflict? I don't think Peter meant that we shouldn't obey the laws. But I do think, and I say that because in 1 Peter, in the second chapter, Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So he's not asking us to disobey these laws. And Jesus even said himself, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto God what is God. So there is a division there of worldly authority and otherworldly authority being God. And we are only to, I hesitate to use the word balk, but we're only to stand firm if the governing authority goes against the will of God. And if we stand firm, we should be ready to take the consequences. Because believe me, there's going to be consequences. But that's our moral obligation, is to stand for what God tells us is correct, what He shows us to be correct, and to stand firm and be prepared to take the consequences. It's not our position that we're going to overthrow the government, but it is our position that we stand up for God and what is right. And so now I want to get a little bit on to this portion of what is right and what is wrong. And it's subjective to man's eye as to what is right and what is wrong. Now, I believe with all my might, with all my being, that this nation of ours was created at the not only pleasure, but at the insistence of God Himself. Now, I believe the creation of the United States of America was in accordance with God's will. And I believe that the men that set this nation up set it up on the values that God has laid out in the Scriptures that we are to follow. And for 230-something years, this nation has created laws that have not, in my opinion, necessarily gone contrary to God's laws. So consequently, we have been able to live in a nation that I think has been a God-fearing nation. Now, we may be drifting away, and I'm really not going to debate that issue. I think we have drifted away to a certain extent. And I think that God, one of these days, is going to bring this nation down for her sins. But nevertheless, we are fortunate to live in a nation that has laws that we have, that we're able to live in a nation that gives us the freedom that the world has never seen before. Now, I may be drifting away from the lesson a little bit. But when God established the Jewish nation, He established them and gave them laws, as I mentioned a while ago. But what did they want to do after a time frame? They wanted a king. Now, they were doing good. There wasn't nothing wrong with what... they were following God's law. But they wanted to be like the nations around them who had kings, who had a leader, somebody they could be proud of, somebody they could look up to. So the Jews, they wanted a king too. God said, okay, I'll give you one. And so He did. And so they began to blend in, and I'm not going through all of this either, but But they got a king. And having a king, they began to drift here and there away from the laws of God just because of the setup of the government. The king's law, the king's word, was law. And he didn't owe allegiance to anyone. And you'll find out that some of the kings that ruled over the Jewish nation gave no more thought to God than anything, and ruled however they wanted to. Now, this form of government was established, and it continued on for thousands of years, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. The European nations especially grew up under kings. And those kings, they had their own laws and their own rules, and a system was set up that was maintained for thousands of years. And the best known monarchy that I can think of is probably England's, whose bloodline of kings go back, well, maybe 1,500 years or so, maybe further than that. But it goes back a long way. And their kings came through and set up and established their own laws, their own wishes, and the country was ruled as they wanted it to be ruled, as was all countries under a king's rule. Now, in 1215, a group of barons got together in England and went to King John. And they told King John that they were rebelling against him in so many words. And I've got a cold, and y'all just pardon me. And they submitted to him a document known as the Magna Carta. Now, I was privileged in 1976. Our family went to Washington, D.C. during the nation's bicentennial. And England had sent over the Magna Carta, the original. And it was on display at the in the rotunda of the nation's capital. And I was privileged to see this document written in 1215, where it proclaimed that the barons, now not the serfs, not the farmers, not the little people, but the barons were declaring that they had certain liberties that they wanted entrusted to them. And so they were asking for King John to give up some of his power and give and spread it around to the barons, and accept that his will, and him to accept that his will was not to be arbitrary. In other words, he had been ruling however he saw fit to rule. He put in prison whoever he saw fit to put in prison. He put to death whoever he saw fit to put to death. He raised armies to attack and invade countries who he felt that he wanted to do, and nobody could say a word about it. So his barons got together, and they went before him with the Magna Carta, and they forced him to sign it. So this was known to be the first document ever made in the world that granted freedom to the people outside of the king. Now, it wasn't the people, though. It was the barons. And so nothing really changed, you know, as far as the people were concerned. And the barons still ruled over the serfs and their underlings. And King John fought the Magna Carta tooth and nail, even after he had signed and agreed to it. He fought against it. And within about 200 to 300 years, everything that was written in the Magna Carta had been repealed. And England was back to being under, you know, just about the kingship that they had known in the past. But nevertheless, the Magna Carta was the first step at establishing laws that were outside the laws of what the king decreed. Now, then comes about 500 years later. And here again, we were in Washington, and we went into the National Archives. And in the National Archives, we saw not a copy, but the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence was a document that was created by men who knew that if King George had found out what they were doing, they would be charged with treason and they would be hung. But they established a document that set forth the freedom of the United States to be independent from the rule of England. And these men signed it. Not only did these men sign it, but this nation gave a lot of blood to back that Declaration of Independence up. To back it up. And in 1776, we won. But, you know, really, that's not the most important document in the National Archives. Now, it is here. And over about 20 feet away is another document. And as we went over there to it, we had to wait. There was a woman standing there. And tears were running down her face. And she was crying. And what it was that she was crying was the Constitution of the United States, which said, we the people, of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. In 1787, this document was ratified. There had never been a document like it in the world. The Magna Carta was signed by King John and the barons. This document said, we the people. That's the unwashed masses, as it's come to be known now. We the people. That's us. That's you and I. This nation established a series of laws that the world had never seen. And I believe these laws that were established by those men was ordained by God. Just like what Paul said. It was set up to be ruled by we the people. Isn't that amazing? The world had never seen anything like that. So, we the people elected a president, George Washington. We elected him, and he served two terms. And there was a group of people who were afraid that if he stepped down, the country would go into chaos. So they wanted him to proclaim himself king. There's that word again. I don't know what it is that people have such an affection for a king. But they wanted him to declare himself a king and to take over that role as far as the United States was concerned. Then there was another factor of people who were afraid that he would take the name of king. And they didn't want that at all. But you know what this man did? This man stood up in his farewell address, and I'm just going to sum it all up. He said, I'm going home. I'm going to Mount Vernon. And he just left. So what did we do? Well, you know what we did? We the people elected John Adams. And we the people continued on until a few months ago we elected Barack Obama. Now we the people did that. And you know that we never had to call out one National Guard unit. We never had to call out the Army. In all of its 230 odd years, we have never had to call out the military to settle riots in the street from our elected officials being elected in the manner in which they've been elected. Isn't that wonderful? You know why I believe that's true? Because this was a plan that was laid out for God. Now, I want to go back a minute to the Constitution. Constitution was not a perfect document. There was amendments that the men came up with. You know what the First Amendment was? Never been done in the history of the world. Congress shall make no law establishing a religion through the doors of it. That you could come to this nation and you could worship your God without fear of government interference. What a concept this was. Do you know this was ratified and approved before all the states could even get it off their records of establishing a religion? A lot of the New England states had already established religions. The Church of England, the Episcopalians. Catholicism was wanting to gain hold, and the states were allowing these to become state religion. The Constitution stood up with the First Amendment and said, we'll not make a religion. And all the states ratified it. Before they could even get the laws off their books, they already ratified it. And it threw this nation open that anybody could come in and serve their God. Now listen, that included everybody. That includes everybody. Now, it included the Catholics, the Episcopalians, which are the Church of England. It includes Muslims. And you know what else it includes? Baptists. It includes Baptists. And it's because of that First Amendment that I heard the gospel. When I was 7 years old at McFerrin Missionary Baptist Church and fell on my knees, and he saved my soul because I heard the scriptures, because the law was passed that this country could not create and support a religion. Never been done in this world any time. The laws that this country have established, we are to follow. We're obligated to follow. We're obligated to obey them. But I said this before, we're obligated also to pray to God that He gives our leaders enough common sense and enough desire to maintain this nation as a nation that's God-fearing and with the freedom that we need to go about our daily lives without fear of interference from any authority. The purpose of civil government is to protect the good and punish the evil. The purpose of civil government is to keep our borders safe from invading armies. And in doing that, I also remember, I think it was Jesus who talked about tribute to the government, taxes that has to be paid. This government needs to be maintained. That's a fact. That's just the way it is. We have to pay taxes. So I hear people complain all the time, and I know that it's everybody complains about paying taxes. But maybe paying our taxes is why I'm able to stand here this morning and speak about these things. And I pray to God that he will maintain this nation. Now, I'm done, but I want to say a few other things. You know, September 11th, was that what? The World Trade Center was destroyed. And I saw articles that said, well, maybe God had lifted the protective hedge he had around this nation. Now, you remember, in the book of Job, Satan was going to and fro looking to see who he could devour. And God said, have you considered my son Job, man? And Satan said, I can't. You've got a hedge around him. There's nothing I can do. Well, I believe this nation had a hedge around. I really do. I believe it's protected. We've been in wars. We've fought battles. We've lost men in foreign countries fighting for the freedom we've enjoyed. And they've given their life. They've given their everything that this nation might continue to have the freedoms that we enjoy. But I also believe that God did raise those heads or lower that head just a little bit to give us a little inkling of what can happen if we fail to do what he would have us to do as a nation. I believe that. And I see this nation going in a direction I'm not real happy with. But you know what I can do about it? I have the freedom to go to the polls. And I'm not up here politicking. I don't want you to think that. But I got the freedom to go to the polls and change that. I do. I've got that freedom. Not like Egypt. You know, they're rioting in the streets in Egypt because of the government and what they've done there. God gave this nation to us. I got the privilege and the freedom to change it. I can go to the polls and I can vote. Now somebody said, well, we need term limits. We got term limits. All you got to do is go to the polls. And you can end it right there. And that's our responsibility. We've got a nation that we have this responsibility to go and participate in it. I think God gives us the right to participate in it. He wants us to be aware of what's going on. He wants us to be there to help guide this nation. He's looking for our prayers to help guide this nation. And we need to be more in tune to the laws of the land and the country and how they affect us. And be aware. If they're going after the Muslims in Murfreesboro 20 years from now, they may be coming after the Baptists here. You don't know. This is a free country. So you got to watch what direction you go. We have freedoms here that the world has never, and it's growing pains. We're different from any country in the world. We have a hodgepodge of people that are here from every country in the world. They all want to come here. Why? Because of what people can give us, what this nation can present to them. And we must be careful that we don't slam the door too hard, because it hadn't been that long ago when we were being hunted down by a religious authority who wanted us dead and out of their hair. It hadn't been that long ago. We're talking, matter of fact, just a few hundred years. So let's think about this. Let's be proud that we've got the government that we've got. Let's get on our knees every night and thank God for it and ask him to lead and guide our leaders. And if our leaders don't look like they're being led and guided by God, let's go to the polls and vote them out. That's the power we have. That's an amazing power that we the people hold in our hand. We the people, in order to form, we form to go. We the people. Not we weren't barons, we weren't earls, we weren't kings. It was we the people who formed this. And here we are, 200 some odd years later, and it's still we the people. Let's be thankful to God for that. Anybody have anything they want to say? I was kind of all over the place on this. But I got to thinking about what Paul said and how God ordained this governing system. And I think we are probably as near to something that God had envisioned as anybody has ever come. And I sure would love to see that go on for generations to come. Anybody have anything to say?
You were talking about not everybody having their right to their religion. What really concerns me is that I think our rights are being taken away. And some of the others are gained. Right.
That could very well
That's
be.
Scary.
Yep, it is. It is something to be concerned about. But here again, we've got a means to get by that if we'll just pull together.
We got God on our side.
We got God on our side. That's right.
No matter what.
That's right.
Some of these others, I kind of have my doubts, but we know that we have God on our side.
We do. Yeah, we do.
He's on our side of the fight. So.
And the Bible says if he's on your side, who can be against you? And nobody can fight against God. And I've told this before, and I'll tell this again. Kenneth Massey, when he was building back there in church, went to the zoning board, and they told him that he couldn't do something. And he said, I can do that. And they said, no, you can't. And the guy told him, says, my boss, who is a higher power than I am, says you can't do that. And Kenneth Massey got up, told him, said, there ain't no higher power than God. And he says, we can do it. And that's true. There's no higher power than God. And we just need to beseech him each and every day to grant us the strength and the will to do what he would have us to do. It's far more than, it's more than just coming here to church. This is a way of life for the Americans. We have fought for freedoms, our freedom for 200 years. We've given blood for our freedom. This is more than just us coming to church. This is a way of life. This freedom of religion is a way of life. It was the First Amendment to the Constitution. They saw the necessity to do this. The first thing, when they reconvened and came together and said, let's make an amendment, what's the first thing going to be? They said, freedom of religion. It was that important, and it's still that important. I'll quit. Anybody have anything to say? Jimmy, would you dismiss us?
Father, we thank you.